This week, Bitcoin was on a roll, climbing up to $10,500. It appeared that the bulls were indeed in control. And just like that, it dropped $800 in just 1 hour. The Golden Cross indicates that the drop may be short-lived, as some are predicting an all-time high by summer. And Ronnie Moas has made good on the bet he lost to Vinny Lingham. We're in the Big Apple for NFT.NYC, and we'll fill you in about it. We'll also cover a bunch more of the latest blockchain and crypto news to inform and entertain you, because you need a chuckle or two. It's the We'll Take Manhattan, episode number 372 of the Bad Crypto Podcast.
Five.
Hello, friends. Welcome to the Bad Crypto Podcast from New York, New York. If you can make it here, you can make it anywhere. You know what I'm saying?
I do know what you're saying.
Joey Bag of Donuts.
You know what? I met a guy today. Looked kind of like that.
I met a guy?
He had like one of those moosey hats on. He's like, hey, what's up? Don't forget about it.
Did he have a bada bing or a bada boom?
He had a bada boom. He actually lost his phone. He left his phone somewhere. And he's like, hey, you want to see my phone? I didn't see your phone.
That's Travis Wright. I'm Joel Kalm, and we are here.
Oh, yeah, sorry about your phone. I don't know about the phone.
We're actually together.
That's
here
true.
In the Big
That's
Apple.
Why we sound funny here. We don't sound like we're in the same, we're a little close. Maybe you hear me in one ear, he's hearing him in the other ear.
Well, we're actually in my hotel room.
Mm-hmm.
I'm on the bed. You are not.
I'm at the desk.
You'll be at the desk. And the heater in here makes funny noises, like out of nowhere. It's like
that's almost exactly like I was upstairs in my room last night, and I had a similar experience. And I had to get up, and it sounded like somebody was crawling through the pipes or something. Or like it sounded like it's to me. I was like, damn, that sounds demonic.
Well, if it happens again, we're leaving it in. I hope it does. If it starts, we're like going to be quiet. We're going to listen to it do its thing because it's pretty funny. And you might hear some sounds of the city in here. And I've got a bit of a cold.
Mm-hmm.
So all this handshaking here at these events.
Yeah, you know what? I don't shake as many hands. I fist bump people more regularly.
I just kick them in the shins.
It's a little how you doing there, partner.
Hey, it's New York.
Hey, it's New
I'm
going
to kick you in the shins. We got a lot of great news for you guys today. First of all, shout out to our show sponsor, Divvy, divvyproject.org. They're taking early signups now for their new digital finance ecosystem that's going to offer crypto debit cards, instant bank accounts, presto, instant bank account, and fiat to crypto on and off ramps directly into the wallet. You want to be first in line to get your hands on these services. So go to wallet.divvyproject.org. That's wallet. What, Wally?
Wally.
Go say hi. Hey, go say hi to Wally.
Hey, Wally.
Way over there at the Divvy Project. Get a wallet, a Wally wallet. Wallet.divvyproject.org. Put in your email. It's simple, and you'll be amongst the first to be notified.
Gosh, Wally.
All right, let's get into the news.
Let's get into the news, Beef.
Timestamp 7:40 p.m. Eastern time, because we are in New York, as we said, on Thursday, February 20th.
By the way, I don't know if you guys have noticed this, but is it cool to say about Cointelegraph?
Totally cool.
Oh, man. So check it out. So Cointelegraph is actually featuring these bad news podcasts during the weekends, like on a Saturday or Sunday, Friday, Saturday, Sunday sometime. Yeah. You'll see Bad Crypto show up on there. And there'll be some show notes talking about the show, interesting things that have happened. News from around the world, not just from Cointelegraph. There's all kinds of news from all over the place. And we're going to be talking all about it.
Yeah, we talked to Joey Bag of Donuts there at the Cointelegraph and said, bada bing, bada boom. Let's put the bad news right there on the telegraph. I'm going to do the whole show like this.
Hey, are you?
I'm in New York and looking
at... You had to talk about this. You know, this should be really bad. The really bad New Yorker accent.
I don't want to talk about it.
Hey, forget about it. But I do want to say shout out to Jay Caruso. How do you say his name?
Cassano. Jay Cassano is the editor-in-chief there at Cointelegraph.
See, I knew it sounded
bad. Yeah, we actually got to speak with him today, and we interviewed him on stage here for the NFT.NYC episode, which will come out in a couple weeks. We talked to another great project that we're going to introduce you to, and you and I got to take the stage and share a little bit about what we're doing with NFTs in terms of proof of listening.
Yes. It's brand new, and we're the first folks to have done this
ever.
They actually put it on the what was it called? The big banner for the event, yeah. Podcasting NFTs. So, yeah. You know, I think you guys are going to maybe start seeing more shows out there, start doing NFTs, and maybe even more YouTubers and more different sort of celebrity type of things. If they're putting out a thing, like, it proves you were at an event. It proves you engaged with that.
You consume the content.
You consume that content. We're going to start seeing that with blog posts. You've consumed the content.
What about proof of eating?
Proof of eating?
Right. I mean, the only food that gives you proof of eating is corn.
And you get food.
Nothing else gives you proof of eating because, yeah. You know, it all just mixes up in there. But how do I know that was a hamburger? Well, I got a token after I ate it.
That's true.
I got the bill, but the bill just proof means eating, I paid for it.
The po token. I'm literally trying to think about, you know, what would be the proof of, like, proof of organization. It's the poo.
The crypto market cap as of now, $277 billion. The top 10 looks like this: Bitcoin, $95.79, Ethereum, $2.55, XRP, 27 cents, Bitcoin Cash, $3.69, Bitcoin SV, $2.83, Litecoin, $69, Tether, $1 even. That's rare. That's like, boom, $1, no decimal, no nothing. EOS, $3.96, the Binance coin, $22.06, and rounding out the top 10 is Tezos. Or Tezos, whatever you want to call it, $3.55. Who's the big winner for the week, Mr. Yeah. Travis Wright?
Well, I want to actually, because it's interesting. The top 10 are always, they are what they are, but I'm noticing a lot more movement within 11 through 20. There's more people popping up in 11 through 20. So
is it altcoin season?
It just seems interesting. Things are changing positions pretty rapidly when you're looking at some cryptos having gained. Tezos gained 13% over the week, I believe, almost 14%. But these last few days have just been, there's so many losses, like Cardano, which is number 12, lost 15%. Chainlink is up to 13 overall. They've gained almost 9% this week. So they're at almost half a billion dollars. Oh, actually $1.5 billion in market cap now. They've grown that bad boy up. Stellar is at 7 cents. Monero's at $76. They lost 17% this week. Tron, 16. It's about 2 cents. They've lost 17%. Ethereum Classics lost 26%. Neo, number 19. A Leo token. What is it, the law enforcement token?
I don't know what that one is.
I've never even heard of it.
Never seen it before in my life.
How's it worth $1 billion and they only have like 11 million in volume going on that thing? That seems interesting.
You asked too many questions, Travis.
I don't even know what that is. Don't ask. Crypto.com, number 23 overall. Look at that. So their crypto token, the CRO, is growing. Very interesting.
Indeed it is. Looking at the Bitcoin clock, we're now 77 days, 19 hours, and 49 minutes to the halving for Bitcoin. The estimated date is now May 8th. Of 2020. Still wish I would push up to the 5th for my birthday, but here's what's interesting. So this week, before Bitcoin plummeted, there were chartists like Matty Greenspan, Matty. Sorry, I always pronounce his name wrong. Sorry, Matty. Maybe spell it different, so we'll say it right.
And put an H in there, like M-A-H-T-I.
Right, yeah. Petition. Everybody signed the petition for Matty to put an H in there. Matty Greenspan, formerly of eToro, now his own independent analyst, said
quantum
that...
quantum economics or something.
Yeah, it's not something. It is that.
It is that.
He said that the rare golden cross in the charts was a very bullish sign. Now, he's not the only one to say that. Cointelegraph markets analyst Keith Waring said he saw the same thing. And what that means is Bitcoin's ascending 50-day moving average crosses over its 200-day moving average. And it's the golden cross. It's a rare phenomenon. And the analyst said that last time this happened, Bitcoin pumped 170% in under 60 days. And so Matty came up with the same thing. And then, boom.
Boom. Yeah, so that was interesting at this thing. It says it hints at 170% gains. That's what it looked like it was going to happen. And we got this halving that's going to happen. So they're forecasting $26,000 by the halving. And then we end up having the fifth largest ever drop in Bitcoin price in 1 hour in the history of Bitcoin happened what, yesterday?
It happened on February 19th. Yep. It went just like boom in an hour. The bottom just fell out. So the question is, what happened? Mm-hmm. So the article on Bitcoinist says that Binance underwent maintenance. And this article was written before the dump. So this is Christina Comben, who is a journalist for Bitcoinist, wrote, Binance undergoes maintenance. Will crypto prices dump? It was an unexpected announcement. They called it undergoing temporary system maintenance. And when they did that, $60 million worth of Tether were minted at the same time.
Oh, wow.
So Mati on Twitter, and I don't have a link to it right now, basically called out Binance and CZ saying, how is this different from the Fed just injecting more money into the system? And it was, you know, if you don't have it to back, do they have it to back or don't they? I don't know. But it's kind of interesting.
So wait a second. So there's a correlation between Binance going down for maintenance and 600 million.
60 million.
60 tether. Million in Tether being created at the same time.
Yeah.
Yeah. So Tether, the treasury for Tether actually minted, as you mentioned, that other $60 million as bulls are wanting more of a boost. They want sort of this thing to go on. But that was the Bitfinex CTO says it's an inventory replenish. So that's interesting, but that's Bitfinex. That's not Binance. What was just the odds that they both happened at the same time?
Did Binance run out of Tether, right? Was their liquidity short? And that could have been it as well. And, you know, unscheduled maintenance. I don't know. How do you infuse $60 million? I don't understand.
So it's one of those things you go, this happened and that happened.
And maybe. Jacob Canfield wrote, Binance is temporarily down for maintenance. Care for your positions. We sometimes see a slight dip with a pump on small cap altcoins after these unexpected maintenances. Trade safe. And it bombed $800. So CZ was tweeting all along there about, you know, hey, we're going to get it back up. It's going to be fine. But, you know, that was a pretty sharp dive and don't know that.
Don't do that, you guys. We were just getting excited about the cryptos, and then it's going to go down. We want to be happy.
Well, this article also from Cointelegraph.com, CZ, and again in the news, he says that the Bitcoin price has not yet adapted to the upcoming block reward halving. He says that the price will see more upwards movement in the future and that it's not yet priced in because demand is increasing while supply is decreasing. Mm-hmm. It makes sense to me.
You know, I just wish that the price would pump right around the time you got to pay, like, the mortgage and your bills. And then, like, in the middle of the month, like, you can go down. But then, like, oh, here it is. It's time to pay mortgage and all your bills. Crypto go up again. You know, like, let's get on that roller coaster ride. How do we work that out? Is there any whales out there? Work with us,
folks. I don't know. But this article goes on to say that investors are still increasingly bullish on Bitcoin, especially because of the Golden Cross.
Okay, the heater's starting to make its noise.
Oh, we just scared it away. We scared it away. See, it might be a demon. Not sure. It's possible.
Okay. Anyway, Golden Cross, Bitcoin, yada, 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 and so on. And that's all I have to say about that. And we'll take a break here to give a shout out to our sponsor. I'm using SoMe.social. Travis is using SoMe.social, and we are being paid in ONG tokens, a very liquid token, for posting things that I would normally post on Facebook or Instagram. Only SoMe compensates you. It's a social media platform based on blockchain, built for privacy and user control and content monetization. It's censorship resistant, provides a number of monetization options, content and curation rewards. It offers advertising revenue sharing and a social dashboard, which offers streamlined posting to all the major social media from a single platform. Post once, blast it everywhere, earn ONG tokens, get paid for what you post. SOME.social, SOME.social.
OMG, I love this content. Mm-hmm. So this is interesting. Want to keep an eye on this article on Forbes from Billy Bambro, the crypto blockchain guy.
He's one of the Bambros.
He's one of the Bambros. Bro. So the U.S. Bitcoin and crypto community had a rough week because, one, the Treasury Secretary Steven Mnuchin warned significant new Bitcoin and crypto regulations are on the way. The Minneapolis Federal Reserve President, Neil Kashkari. Dude, how's the dude, the Federal Reserve President's name's Kashkari.
And it's Mnuchin.
Is it?
Not Mnuchin.
Okay. Is it?
Oh, Mnuchin. He's not eating.
He still looks hungry.
He's munching. I'm gonna munch some food. And then I'm gonna go over there and I'm gonna pay for it and I'm gonna have Neil Kashkari pay for it because he's got the money.
You know, Kashkari's already got cash. So Neil Kashkari, he said cryptos are a giant garbage dumpster. And a Department of Justice called Bitcoin mixing a crime. Now, Bitcoin mixing is kind of controversial because you're pooling together your Bitcoin transactions and then Bitcoin mixes all up, all the numbers up.
Just makes it more anonymous.
Makes them more anonymous, so they don't like that. So here we have Bitcoin mixing is a crime. It's a garbage dumpster file, and significant changes are going to happen after he's done munching. And
I want somebody that's going to burger carry. Bring me my burger. I don't care about the cash.
I don't want some cash.
Show me the burger.
I bet he gets robbed a lot carrying all the cash.
Carrying all the cash around. You know, he's the Fed of a state and just Minneapolis.
Well, like, Fed of, there's 12 Federal Reserve banks. Yeah. One of them happens to be in Minneapolis.
Okay. You know what? Minneapolis is in Minnesota. In Minnesota, may as well be Canada, eh?
Hey, I mean,
there's so many hosiers up there. They don't know, you know, when they carry their cash, they're going oot in a boot.
Oot in a boot?
Yeah, I don't know. They're hosiers. Some of them wear the toques, too.
Oh, yes.
Yeah. We love you, Minneapolis and Minnesota, and God bless
you. Listen America. To this, dude. Listen to this. Listen to how he describes his description of why crypto is a dumpster fire or whatever. He goes, the reason that the dollar has value is because the U.S. government has a legal monopoly on producing the dollar.
And then he was asked if he would want his one-year-old daughter to be gifted a treasury bond or a Bitcoin for her next birthday. And I'm sure he said the treasury bond, right?
Yeah, I'm not sure how he answered it. But I mean, he says this, in the virtual currency and crypto world, there are thousands of these garbage coins out there. Literally, people have been fleeced for tens of billions of dollars, and finally the SEC is getting involved on cracking down on this. There are still lots of coins out there.
Yeah.
But to say all cryptocurrency is a garbage fire, I would say, look at my Ethereum wallet. You'll see there's lots of coins in there. Now, some people did lose their ass on some of these projects, right? And that's sad, and that's just the way that it is. But there's a lot of great projects that are popping up out of here, right? And it's like everybody knows this was a speculative market. When everything's on the high and everybody's rolling up and the roller coasters are so huge and the market cap was $840 billion, everybody's woohoo, right? And now it's at 250-something, 60-something billion. Mm-hmm. Crazy. It's a crazy ride, but the use cases of blockchain, they're not going away. They're not changing. I think some regulations are inevitable because as the space is maturing, people are trying to wrap their heads around it. So if it was drastic measures and drastic regulations and stuff, again, all the innovation is going to leave America.
Where did that phrase wrap your head around it come from? I mean, my head is kind of self-contained. I can't see it wrapping around.
Normally said don't wrap stuff around your head because you can't breathe.
And I don't want to wrap my head around anything because that would mean that my head would have to split in order to wrap around something. Okay. I just want my head to stay.
Well, how about just get it inside your head and then you're able to work it inside?
I just want my head to stay, to have my brain wrapped in it.
Okay.
Because, you know, my hard skull needs to protect it.
Okay. Speaking of wrapping.
No, not really. Speaking of hard skulls, though, this happened.
Speaking of craniums, here's a fulcrum.
How is that even?
Cranium? Fulcrum.
So we were at ETH Denver in Denver last week, and that episode, live from ETH Denver, which is a riot, you guys are going to love hearing that show, comes out, I think, in another week. But okay. While we were there, there was a company there that deals with flash loans, right? Two exchanges are involved in this.
BVX or something?
BZX.
BZX.
It was the one that was there. They were actually a sponsor. They had a booth there. Well, the headline of this article on Trust Notes talks about what happened while we were there, which we had nothing to do with, by the way. A hacker made $360,000 in ETH from a flash loan, single transaction involving Fulcrum, Compound, Dydx, and Uniswap. And the process of what he did, you can look at the story.
No, I got to say this. This you want
to try to explain it? Go ahead.
So he gets a loan for 10,000 ETH. The 10,000 ETH is worth about $3 million. And he got that from a trading platform called Dydx, DYDX. So then he sent 5,000 ETH to Compound, which is compound.io, I think. I'm not for sure. He sent the other half to BZX. And with the Compound half, he borrowed 112 WBTC.
That's wrapped.
Yeah. Wrapped Bitcoins.
So he wrapped his head around the Bitcoin.
He wrapped his head around the Bitcoin. And then with the BZX half, he shorted 112 BTC. So basically, it was like, either way, he wins, apparently. Well, now this sent the Compound W12 to a lower price and profit from the short and finally able to pay back that ETH loan based on the shorts, tanking the market a little bit, then being able to come back in and pay back off the thing because globally the price went down. And he just ended up snagging a whole bunch of money.
Well, so, okay, you have to understand how a flash loan works, according to this article. Basically, you borrow an asset without putting down any collateral, so it's free, but you pay it back in the same transaction. And I'm still a little confused about how this works.
Wow, the same transaction. So he built some code to basically make this be the all one transaction.
It cost him $8.71 to basically take all of this money.
Oh my goodness.
And the folks from BZX were no longer at the booth the rest of
the
day.
They did. They left. You'll actually hear that joke.
How embarrassing.
Wow. Like,
I don't know. They have tweeted that they're standing by their work and their product.
Ah,
and
look at that.
They're going to be publishing a plan to compensate lenders.
Yeah.
So they're not going out of business.
Here's what it says. Quote, "We're still trying to wrap our head around what flash loans are." But basically, you can borrow an asset without putting down any collateral.
I just said that.
Yeah, wrap your head around it. Now, it's funny that it's sitting there.
Your head around it.
Yeah, there it is.
The comments on this are interesting. It says, "Stop calling the person a hacker. If the code allows for this, then it's fair game."
Yeah.
Write better code.
That's exactly
Someone, it. Used the system legally, took a loan, traded, took profit, and returned the loan.
Yeah, there it goes. Dude, it sounds like somebody's crawling in there trying to get out. Hello!
We're at the Hotel Edison, by the way. It feels like a low-budget hotel.
But seems nice.
The NFT NYC event, the event center, was really nice, the ballroom. Anyway, there you go. Another, I don't know if what you call it a hack or not, but along the same lines, there is a lot of fraud in the crypto space. And there was a crypto scheme that was called Gem Coins, and he took $147 million from 70,000 victims. The guy's name is Steve Chen. He is the mastermind behind it, and he's admitted to wire fraud and tax evasion in a plea agreement. So his 2014 reported income was $138,000. But now he admits to earning $4.8 million that year. And then he bought homes and paid for his gambling habit. Basically, it was a multi-level marketing scheme to promote U.S. Fine Investment Arts, Inc., which rewarded investors first with points and then with gem coins, which were allegedly backed by gems mined by the company that could be traded on the platform.
Mm.
Oh, snap.
Amazing.
He faces a sentence of 10 years in prison, a fine of at least $500,000, and he's required to pay full restitution to all the victims.
Oh, my, my. That is what, you know what? Crypto is a huge dumpster fire. I mean, so, see, these are the kinds of things that make the industry look bad.
People are a dumpster fire.
People. Sorry, true.
It's like crypto is amoral. Mm-hmm. Money is amoral. I mean, even the Bible says the love of money is the root of all evil. Well, in order, the love comes from a person, mm-hmm. right? Money itself can't, you know, be love. It's, money's love.
You can love money. Money can't love.
Money is not the root of all evil. The love of money.
Yeah, because people do some crazy things when money is involved. That is money, for money, sure.
Money, money,
money. Money, 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 money.
For example, Ronnie Moas taking a bet from Vinny Lingham, which Vinny Lingham won bigly, mm-hmm. right? So this happened at World CryptoCon 2018 in Las Vegas. We were on stage for doing Bad Crypto Live, and we had Ronnie, Vinny Lingham, Maxine Ryan, Charlie Lee were on stage with us.
Yep.
And you guys probably heard about this by now, that the loser of the bet, which had to do with the price of Bitcoin on December 31st, 2019, the loser of the bet would have to pay $20,000 to Free Ross for Ross Ulbricht's legal fund.
Yep.
I'll put money where my mouth is. End of 2019, $28,000. Is that your prediction?
Yes.
Okay, what do you want to bet?
$20,000 to her charity.
Okay, fine.
Oh!
Fine, deal.
There you go. All right, let's...
So, just clarify, by 31st of December midnight next year, if the Bitcoin price touches 28,000 on any exchange of reasonable volume. I mean, we can be, you know, obviously can't be some sketchy exchange and that you set up overnight, but any legit exchange, if it touches that price at any point during the year, okay, I'll put 20,000 bucks into a charity. If it doesn't, you're in for 20K into a charity.
I can't lose on this bet.
Wow.
Very nice.
Wow. All right. Going to sign.
And here on Cointelegraph, there's actually a YouTube video of them having a debate and talking about. So there's this guy here, Dan McDermott, talking to Ronnie Moas. And then that was one of the questions that they asked about that, was that whole bet deal. And then in this, Ronnie, you can watch the video if you like. Ronnie says that he did pay for there's a receipt for him paying $20,000 to a charity.
Several charities.
Yeah, just not the charity that Maxine Ryan had agreed to, because he got upset because he didn't like the whole Free Ross thing.
Whatever, that's fine. But what's really interesting is that his newsletter went out today.
Okay.
And in his newsletter, I feel like you should read it in the Ronnie voice.
Okay. I was interviewed by Cointelegraph on Tuesday, and here is the link to the 42-minute video. We covered more than a dozen topics during the discussion, including my $20,000 bet with Vinny Bingham. I lost that bet, and it was paid in full many weeks ago, contrary to what some trolls and bastards posted online. Cointelegraph actually showed my charity receipts for the $20,000 in this video.
Trolls.
You trolls and bastards.
Oh, my.
He's got such a short fuse.
He does. Ronnie, you know what? You were once a friend of the show, and then I gave you a simple little recommendation, and you got offended, and then you told him what you really thought.
Yes.
And that was that.
Things happen. That's the way it goes.
I'm glad he gave, you know, the donation. I still question. Here's my question. Mm-hmm. And maybe it doesn't matter, but the objection I've had is that when you make a bet and you owe that money to something, whether or not you, you know, support it. A bet's a bet.
Yeah.
A pledge is a pledge. And how do we know that the $20,000 that he gave to these charities, instead, he's not giving that $20 to somewhere else?
Yeah.
Whereas the odds are he probably would have given to his charities of choice and paid the debt.
Which is good-hearted, but it just creates this sort of, this feeling of a welch, You know what I mean? It's like, okay, he did pay $20,000 to some charity, but he has a website called Philosophy and Philanthropy, or Philandering, something. And I don't remember which one.
Philandering. That's messing around on your woman. The philandering.
I don't know why he's got a website on that. It's weird.
Do you think somewhere there's a guy named Philip Andering? His name is Philandering.
I'm not sure.
Now I have to look it up and see.
I don't know. This episode was going to be a shorter version of Bad Crypto, but it's turned
We're having fun. More entertaining. We're having fun. It was a good day here at NFT NYC. So we'll talk about it a little bit more here after we finish this. I want to banter a little bit about the thing.
Yeah. Okay, so there's this article here on BBC News. And now very rarely we will talk about BBC News when it comes to crypto. But check this out. There's this company, Swiss Crypto AG. There's this spying scandal that's been going on that has been really, really interesting.
There's a spying scandal?
Spying scandal. Spying scandal. Well, so basically, from what I understand, the machines basically the encryption and the encoding used on devices to spy have been hacked since World War II. So this encryption, so basically this code, these codes that the U.S. and German intelligence have used this Swiss company encoding devices, but that code is basically anybody who's had this, it's been vulnerable.
They're listening to us right now.
It's just really
interesting. We want people to listen to the podcast. Mm-hmm. Probably just not in the hotel room while we're recording it.
So they had these encryption machines that they were selling, and it was bearing that Made in Switzerland label. They sold them to Iran so that Washington could eavesdrop on them.
Huh.
So Swiss neutrality, right? How long has it been? Hey, Swiss is neutral. Swiss is neutral. Nope. They survived two world wars because they said they've been doing that. But basically what they've been doing is they've been covertly spying. Really wild. It's like, it says Swiss Crypto AG spying scandal shakes reputation for neutrality. So that doesn't tell you all what goes on. Well, go check out the notes. Read that. That's really interesting. The Swiss have always been neutral. And now they've been doing crazy stuff with the encryption and being not neutral.
And by the way, links to the story and all the others in this episode on our show notes at badco.in/372. That's where you'll find all the links.
And if you'd like to know where to get this week's NFT, go to there's not one this week. So sorry. Sorry.
Well, there could be one this week. There's not one this
episode. Oh, there's not this episode. Yeah. So you can turn it off now.
We did. No, don't turn it off. There's more bad news to come. Oh, we did, however, at NFT.NYC airdrop a token to all the attendees of the event. Mm-hmm. So, this one wasn't for listeners. This was for people here at the event. You had to be here.
Yep.
And if you weren't here, well, you missed it.
And let's pause and see how many of them have been claimed so far.
Meanwhile, Binance in the news again. They are now applying for Singapore's new crypto license. You know, Binance is one of the world's largest crypto exchanges. And now I guess the government in Singapore has some new payments legislation. CZ says, we've already applied. I mean, we submitted the application. We're talking to them. The regulators there seem open-minded, and they're ready to get in on the action there in Singapore.
Mm. 386 people claimed this particular NFT.
That's awesome.
That's good.
That's super awesome.
Yeah, yeah. Now, Mr. Joe Kahn.
Yes, sir, Mr. Travis Wright.
So when we first started, when we were talking about the cryptos, we were starting to talk about, blockchain. And we were talking about this project that had been brought to my attention called Deep Sea. Mm-hmm. And Deep Sea was going to be how to fix fake news, how to authenticate news, how to sort of take a journalist and then rate them, kind of like IMDb or whatever, to rate journalists. How biased are they? Do they lean to the left? Do they lean to the right? Are they neutral?
Do they stand up, sit down, fight?
Are they paid for by certain organizations? What do we know about these folks, right? So that was the question that we asked. And then eventually the CEO wanted to turn it into a YouTube and it ended up fizzling. But as a result, we created Bad Crypto Podcast, right? It's sort of the idea that came from that. So there's this article here on Computer World, how blockchain could help block fake news by using, an immutable letter, blah, 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 by creating an immutable, that's hard to say.
by creating an immutable ledger.
There really needs to be some bloopers. It's
just been a long day. Yes, like we've been so meeting and talking people all day. And guys, this is commitment, right? We've been at this conference all day, and we know that there's news. We know that you guys are waiting for this, and we're tired, and we're hungry, and we're destitute, and we're not destitute, but
we're not quite that.
We like, you know what? We got a show to put out.
Yeah.
And people in the Republic of Bad Cryptopia, they're waiting. They're like, they're sitting by their podcast player.
They are.
It's a lonely night.
They're so true. They're like,
eating mac and cheese.
And you know what really bums them out? It's like when they're used to the show coming out on Thursday, and then we move it and it comes out on Friday. And so then they're like, oh my gosh, it's 7 o'clock.
We just ruined their night. But we just made their weekend better.
We just did make your weekend better. So remember back in 2018, there was a video of Barack Obama that was showing how easily tech can be used to sort of create fake news. These deep fakes is what they're called, these videos. Mm-hmm. Well, where was that? Where were we? Oh, we were at ETH Denver, and I met this guy of this company that actually creates verified synthetic media, right? I think if you're creating fake, deep fake videos, they should be on the blockchain to say, hey, we know this is a fake one. This is not actually real. We verify this is not real, right? I think there's going to be a big problem with deep fakes in the future where people are trying to make them come off as they are real and get people in trouble for shit they didn't do.
And it's going to happen. Somebody is going to get in trouble. You'll see a video or they'll say something. And then there's the evidence. There they are on tape saying this horrible thing.
Yeah.
And
it's going to be completely fake.
And it's Black Mirror stuff. Like people are just, in the news today, all you got to do is so-and-so is alleged to have said or done this. Mm-hmm. And like, oh, that person's horrible.
Right.
And
not even proof of it.
Right. They want to string them up.
Yeah.
And then most of the time you find out that it didn't really happen.
I can't even believe how society has devolved. You know what I mean? Like, that's the kind of shit that would happen, like, in the Middle Ages. And be like, yeah, string him up, kill him, take him out. They're like, you can just see how people, when they have this sort of self-righteousness that they believe their opinion or their way is the best way, and other people need to bow down to it. And look what's happened historically. Like,
my way is the best way, though.
I mean, that's how Star Wars gets stormtroopers. They're like, yeah, we're going to do this. We're going to come on, stormtrooper.
Can you just bow down and be quiet already?
No. Yes. Trying to create fake news over here.
Well, there's a number of things that blockchain can be used for. One is authentication, right? So they want to use electronic impulse testing or spectral imaging to ensure the authenticity of the article being recorded and tracked on blockchain, whether it's news, food, electronics. Blacklisting or anomaly detection using AI and machine learning models to detect behavioral or data anomalies for assets, information, activities, both on and off the blockchain that feed into the blockchain. And you could explore this method as well, blockchain bridging physical and virtual truth. So Internet of Things sensors, networks, and digital twins connect physical truth to virtual business event truth recorded on the blockchain. This is like some heady stuff here.
Dude, this is a really good article. You're going to read this. And then it goes in here to talk about the Deep Trust Alliance that was founded by Catherine Harrison, who used to be the global product person over there at IBM Blockchain. And this, it just goes on and on and on talking about all of this. But I think you nailed it. What's going to happen is authentication, blacklisting and anomaly detection, and bridging physical and virtual truths. We have to have... It's, the truth needs to be rewarded. And so many people gloss over the truth. We even have media on both sides that sort of sculpt narratives. And what we believe to be true is what we see and what we hear it over and over again. We hear something over and over and over and over and over. We believe that it's the truth. Mm-hmm. So all you got to do is tell a lie over and over and over. And people say, oh, it's real. Must be real.
I heard it.
Yeah, I heard it. It's real.
Why did you sound like Bill Clinton when you said that?
I don't know. But I do like the idea of people are going to create memes. People are going to do it. Obviously, this is fake and it's funny, right? But we don't want to get into a situation where it's fake and it's hurtful because you can't really prove that it's fake. It's so hard to tell. That's why technology has to be above that to tell where there's glitches, because you're going to see stuff on frames that are not necessary, mm-hmm. that are anomalies. You just have to know what to look for.
The question is who to trust. And speaking of who to trust, Travis, have you ever done 23andMe?
No, refuse to.
Yeah, I won't either. But now there is a company out there called Genobank, genobank.io, and they claim to provide a non-fungible token system that allows you to own and control your DNA data. Mm. That, to me, is interesting, right? If I'm the one that has access to it and my private keys mean that the government doesn't get the results of my genome testing, my DNA testing, then I would be down to take it. So here's how the ecosystem works, according to our article here on Cointelegraph. So Genobank.io say they're devising a safe, anonymous digital platform where genomic and sensitive healthcare data can be stored with confidence, known as the Encrypto Vault trademark. The company says the storage method is aligned with data regulations in the EU and California's new consumer privacy law. Virtually unhackable, encrypted, decentralized, and ready to integrate with the Internet of Life sensors. I am ready to integrate with the Internet of Life sensors. That sounds so magnificent. Does.
So they cut off their DNA app ecosystem.
Right. So if you're a user, you can earn stable coins by renting your DNA sequence for research purposes through Genobank.io. That's how you get compensated. And big pharma companies and labs will be given the chance to purchase a data license directly for consumers for temporary commercial use. So the DNA donors never lose ownership. This is the first time ever it says that consumers can be compensated for contributing to genomic discoveries using a DNA data wallet.
Interesting. Now, is there a layer of anonymity between here's my data? Like, I would do it if I could sign up and I'd be all like, you know, Tony Jenkins, and I get back Tony Jenkins DNA, right? And I like, but I know that it's mine, but it's Tony Jenkins, right? Like, I don't want it. I don't want my DNA attached to Travis Wright and there to be a clear connection, but I'd like to know what the data means. Well, it would be interesting to know.
If it's on blockchain, it sounds like, you know, if they're just using it for research purposes, I don't think it matters to them who it's from.
Right.
Right. So I would imagine that this is private because it says it respects the privacy laws.
Yeah.
So it's interesting and we'll have to watch and see if that happens. I think we should move on to some lighter hearted stuff here. There's a couple interesting things that have happened in the gaming world that I find absolutely fascinating. Now, I can't believe that I just heard about The Sandbox, but this article in Cointelegraph talks about this game on Ethereum. They have sold $206,000 worth of virtual land that people just bought these properties. And if you look at the tweet with the image here in this article in our show notes, you'll see it's like this pixelated blob of land and people are buying parcels and putting logos on it. It's kind of like, remember the $1 million homepage where they sold 1 million pixels? This is back in like the late 90s, maybe 2000. The guy sold 1 million pixels at $1 each. And people would buy, you know, 10 by 10 and they'd put their logo on there. Some would buy, you know, 100 by 20, but he sold out all the pixels and made $1 million from this page. And this is kind of what this reminds me of, that people are buying this land. The first set was sold out and they're going to be doing another sale here soon.
Well, $1 million homepage is still up to this day. Own a piece of internet history sold out. That's so hilarious that Alex Tu, he was a TEW, was a 21-year-old entrepreneur, made that back in the day. Hoped to pay his way through college by selling 1 million pixels.
I'm sure he did. I wonder what he's doing now.
I don't know. You know what? That would be so interesting.
Where are they now?
Oh, yeah. The $1 million homepage kid created the $250 million Calm app.
Oh.
Meditation app.
Well, there you go.
Yeah.
Good for him.
Nice. That's awesome. So he got in business school and converted, and that's beautiful.
Way to go.
I love that story.
Well, The Sandbox is still, they've only sold 5% of the land. They're going to do another round, but they're not the only virtual world that has opened up. a couple of years ago during the ICO craze, we talked about Decentraland.
Mm-hmm.
And that's a different, that's a virtual world where you can actually walk through a space, mm-hmm. kind of like Second Life.
Yeah.
Only you would spend mana tokens to claim a plot of land and build something on it. Well, they just opened.
Isn't it sort of like Minecraft, kind of? Or they're building stuff
that
way?
Yeah, it's kind of Minecrafty, a little more sophisticated in terms of design and what's possible in it. But apparently, on opening day, users paid $1 million to grab parcels and start building on this Ethereum-based virtual reality product.
Mm, that's really cool. I mean, look at this. Virtual land, virtual assets, right? Virtual digital collectibles. Like, do you see where we're going with this? It's not just...
Wait, let me guess. Virtual?
We're going on the blockchain, you guys. We're making things and stuff.
I like that their token is called Mana. And I wish that it was like Mana, Mana, because then it would read like Mana, Mana.
Mana, Mana.
Do, 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 do. Mana, Mana. Do, 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 do. So Decentraland recently came in second on Cointelegraph's list of the five most expensive non-fungible tokens of 2019. And you know me, I'm a gamer, and I do have a small amount of mana, and now that the project is open, I am going to go buy a small parcel and call it the Republic of Bad Cryptopia. And
very tiny parcel.
A very little bitty baby parcel with a little genome on it.
Little genome.
Put a little genome on it. It makes everything better. Put a little genome on it.
Nice.
Makes everything better. Mr. Travis Wright, we should give a shout out to our other show sponsor, which is CryptoTaxAudit.com. Tax time's here, gang. Tax time is here. You might not like it, but it's true. And you want a CYA. Make sure that you do not get that letter from the IRS asking, what's with these crypto transactions? You subscribe to Crypto Tax Audit. It's the only tax audit defense service designed for crypto owners. Check it out. The price is incredibly reasonable. CryptoTaxAudit.com. Mr. Travis Wright, one final story right here. The Cointelegraph Top 100 has been released.
Mm.
And I am super excited to say, well, to tell people where we ranked.
I couldn't actually believe it. It was amazing.
I can't believe where we're ranked either. I mean, this is pretty amazing. You know, when you think of all the people
mm-hmm.
that they could have chosen to be in the top 10,
mm-hmm.
the fact that they didn't choose us is not surprising at all.
Well, I mean, you look at, when you know that Brock Pierce is number 44 and Jed McHale number 43, you're like, yeah, I'm pretty sure. Like, this is a list we're not getting on.
Yeah, so we're pretty pleased to celebrate the fact that we are not in the top 100.
They did tell us that we were in the top 10,000.
Yes, we definitely did. You're like, you guys are somewhere between 101 and 9,999. But just because the two of you are together.
Yeah.
Like, if you were separate, it would have been down.
Yeah, it would have been totally different.
We added your numbers together.
But we appreciate that because, I mean, how many people are in crypto? I mean, like, top 10,000 is pretty good.
Yeah, so, you know, number one is CZ of Binance mm-hmm. as being the most influential.
And we have had him on the show.
We have had him on. David Marcus, the head of Calibra, which mm-hmm. is...
Not been on the show.
Not been on the show. Kelly Loeffler, U.S. Senator for Georgia.
Not been on the show.
She was the CEO of Bakkt. Mm-hmm. Pavel Durov, the founder and CEO of Telegram.
Not been on the show.
Not been on the show. Not been on the show. Number five, though.
Ooh.
Vitalik.
Vitalik.
So, technically, not been on the show, but we did interview him.
Yeah.
And the episode, the long-awaited interview with the creator and co-founder of Ethereum, it happens on March 7th. 2020. Ooh. So, and I'll just tell you guys now, you got to know that there's going to be an NFT for that episode.
Yeah.
I mean, the very
you're going to want to get that one.
Yeah. Number six, Brian Armstrong.
Not on the show.
Not been on the show. Number seven, Joseph Lubin.
Yeah, he was almost on the show, but then we didn't have
but then schedule. He wasn't.
Then he wasn't.
Not been on the show. Number eight, the CEO of Lightning Labs, Elizabeth Stark.
Not been on the show.
Number nine, Brad Garlinghouse, the Garlinghouse CEO of Ripple.
He's been on the show.
He's been on the show. And number 10, Justin Sun, founder of Tron.
He's been on the show. So four out of six have been on the show.
Yeah, of the top 10. We go down the list in the top 20, Bobby Lee, Andreas Antonopoulos, Roger Veer, and Charlie Lee. Four of the next six have been on the show. And
the Winklevise.
Not been on the show. But anyway, it's a fascinating list. There's a lot of names that I'm not familiar with. And we
a lot of future guests.
A lot of future guests. Yeah, basically, we've instructed our producer, Aaron, to look at this list and go, how do we make it so next year the boys don't look at the list and go, not been on the show? Which, you know, for me is exciting because that means there's so many smart and interesting people that we have yet to speak with in the space.
Oh, yeah.
And that list is just going to keep expanding. Gang, there is no shortage of great content and super smart people doing some super delicious blockchain-y things here in the future.
Super delicious blockchain-y things. Super baby. Super, yeah.
So before we say adios and get some grub, because I'm now at the place where
I need food.
This event here, NFT.NYC, put on by People Browser, which are the people that own cred.com, K-R-E-D, Cameron and Jody, put on a fan-flippin-tastic one-day event here. It's so good that I think next year they're going to have to do 2 days. There's just so much content and so many quality people, including friends of the show that, you know, we ran into here. You know, Dirk from Upland.
Dirk.
We've been a big fan of Upland.
We do love the Dirk.
Very nice. Dirk is very tall in German.
Dirk is very tall.
Yeah. We actually did a live stream to the Upland page today to give away the first parcel in Upland at San Francisco Airport.
Mm-hmm.
What they're doing is cool. In order to go to other cities that they will soon open up, and we think New York might be amongst the first, you have to go through an airport. So right now, Upland has just been San Francisco proper.
Mm-hmm.
But you'll have to go to the airport, and after this person claims their parcel that they won, they're going to open it up for people to buy. Mm.
You know what would be really cool is if it actually, like, it takes from San Francisco to New York, it takes about 4 hours to fly there.
Oh, like, it's faster than that.
I would love for that's what it should do. It should take that amount of time to fly to New York.
Well, but if you like open up your Block Explorer now and click, the thing here it goes. The heater's doing its thing. Get it. Yeah, we temporarily interrupted this broadcast for the heater
multiple times. It was like the star of the show
to do its bizarre thing right here in the Hotel Edison. Anyway.
Whoa!
What are you doing? It's a magnet.
Dude, there's magnets on. That is ingenious.
Yeah.
I didn't know that.
So we're using the Switch Pod, which my friend Pat Flynn came up with and sold a crap ton of these.
He should sell them all over. Like, this design is timeless.
It's the coolest tripod, actually, that there is. Go look up the Switch Pod. Anyway, I'm tired and hungry. There's more to talk about this event, but you know what? We'll talk more about the event when we release the episode in a couple weeks of the recordings we did here at NFT.NYC. We will be back next year.
That was so awesome. I feel so blessed to be able to have the opportunity to talk to so many cool people, meet so many amazing people. And then they come up and they tell us how our show has impacted them on their journey. We've had so many people come up to us and be like, man, like, I got into crypto and listened to you guys first. It's like it's weird that, like, is I still feel like not a crypto OG, but it's like we're starting to kind of, with these next new waves of crypto growing, right, like we're going to become an OG, and it's kind of strange.
2.5 years into this already. July 18th will mark the third anniversary of Bad Crypto, and you know how quickly time goes. Summer will be here before you know it. And also, episode number 400 will be coming up, and John McAfee has already agreed to join us for the fourth time. And we're not gonna hurry and schedule him sooner out of fear that, you know, he's gonna get mugged or disappear or something.
We should also do another fan shout out where we did that, because I really enjoyed on episode 300 as sort of that fan appreciation. So we should do another
one. Hey, you guys, give us some feedback. Write us badcryptopodcast@gmail.com or call us. You know, we miss you when you don't write or when you don't call, and the phone number to reach out to us and leave a voicemail on the Bad Crypto Hotline, which is open 24/7. Ready? Here it comes. 708 885-9030. That number again is 708-885-9030. The Bad Crypto Hotline is open and operators are standing by. Should we go get something to eat?
Let's go get some food.
All right. Hey, talk to you guys soon. Thanks for listening and stay bad. The Bad Crypto Podcast is a production of Bad Crypto LLC. The content of the show, the videos, and the website is provided for educational, informational, and entertainment purposes only. It's not intended to be and does not constitute financial, investment, or trading advice of any kind. You shouldn't make any decisions as to finances, investing, trading, or anything else based on this information without undertaking independent due diligence and consultation with a professional financial advisor. Please understand that the trading of Bitcoins and alternative cryptocurrencies have potential risks involved. Anyone wishing to invest in any of the currencies or tokens mentioned on this podcast should first seek their own independent professional financial advisor.